Brother Ashford, and he was able to speak at our last missions conference we had, which was wonderful, on the King James Bible, amen, and we really enjoyed having him, and it was a blessing. If you have your Bibles this morning, I hope you do, turn with me to 1 Timothy in chapter 1. Now, I am normally, at this time, preaching in junior church at our church. So if some of you could act up during the service, and I have to ask you to keep it down, I would appreciate it. That would make me feel right at home. As you're turning to 1 Timothy in chapter 1, November of last year, we had a tent revival at our church. We had a gentleman from West Virginia, Brother Boyd Collins, come and preach at our tent revival. And it was at that tent revival that God began to work on my heart about going into evangelism and specifically going and trying to help churches, being encouragement to churches, to their pastors, to the men in the church, to the leadership in the church, and just to try to be an encouragement. As Pastor Asquith has already mentioned, I have a great church that I go to. I love my church, and I love my pastor. My pastor is a gift from God. Actually, I'm going to talk about that in the second service. About my pastor is a gift that God has given me, and I love my pastor. I am loyal to my pastor. People know in my church, if they want to say something against my pastor, they don't come and talk to me about it. Because I'll take them right to my pastor and I'll say, well, you tell him what you told me. So I love the man of God that he has given me. But I have to tell you this, if I lived in this area, I would find out about Black Creek Baptist Church and I would come to Black Creek Baptist Church.
Amen.
It is a great church. It's been a privilege to be here with you already today. Appreciated the Sunday school lesson. Pastor Asquith, that was a blessing. So if you're there in 1 Timothy in chapter 1, we'll read the whole chapter. Then we'll pray and we'll see what God has for us this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of this blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, and I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with the faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us this morning. God, I pray that you would work in this congregation. Lord, I pray that you would use me once again. Lord, clothe me in the calling wherein you have called me. Help me to say what you want me to say, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do a work that only you can do, and that is to speak to the hearts of men. In Jesus' holy and precious name I pray. Amen. I want you to notice two words in our text this morning. The first word is found in verse number 6, where the Bible says, from which some having swerved. And in my Bible, I have that word swerved circled. And then if you look in verse number 19, the Bible says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. And I have that word shipwreck circled in my Bible, and I have a line drawn between the two. The title of my message this morning is, Don't Swerve or You'll Wreck the Ship.
Amen.
Now, Paul here calls out two fellows in verse number 20. He says, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander? These two fellows swerved and got shipwrecked. Now here in our text, Paul doesn't talk much about these fellows. So to me, that lets me know that Timothy knew what these guys had done. Timothy knew them, and he knew what they had done. In fact, if you'll flip over to 2 Timothy with me, 2 Timothy in chapter number 2, we see a little bit more about this man, Hymenaeus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's start reading in verse number 15. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So here we see that this fellow Hymenaeus was telling people, hey, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's already come back. The resurrection has already happened. And we know that that is contrary to what the Bible teaches. That was not the fact. So he was teaching false doctrine. He was teaching people that something had already happened that had not already happened. And the Bible says here in 2 Timothy that he erred. He erred. So we're going to look today at what is it that made Hymenaeus err? What is it that made him swerve? Also, we see he mentioned Alexander. If we look in 2 Timothy in chapter number 4, we can see a little bit more about Alexander. 2 Timothy in chapter number 4. And look with me, if you will, at verse number 14. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsake me. I pray, God, that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto the heavenly kingdom, to whom the glory to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Alexander here, Paul said, he's done me much evil. He was just rotten to Paul. I mean, Paul just says he was a man who did me much evil. And what is it that caused Alexander to do that? What is it that caused him to swerve? If we go back to our text in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, we can see what it is that First Timothy chapter 1, we could see what it is that these fellows swerved from. Look with me in verse number 5, if you would. The Bible says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved." So what did they swerve from? First of all, they swerved from charity out of a pure heart. They stopped loving with a pure heart. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great book in the chapter in the Bible on charity. Just a great passage. It shows us what charity is. These fellows were not doing that.
Amen.
And they may have had a form of charity. You know, they may have said, "Oh, I love you, brother." But when they needed to move, they didn't show up. Amen, brother? Trying to help you, brother. Trying to help you. They had charity out of a pure heart. They would show up and help that fellow move. Why? Because they love him, because he's their brother. And listen, it wouldn't be, "All right, I'm going to show up and help you move, but by golly, when I move, you better show up with, you know, 20 of your friends." You know, that's selfish love, not selfless love. Listen, when you love someone, you should love them with absolutely no thought of getting anything in return. That's what charity is. It's a love that gives without thinking of yourself. And that's what Hymenaeus and Alexander started swerving from. They got away from that. They started, you know, getting a burr under their saddle when people would do something. "Well, you know, I don't love them anymore because they did me wrong." Hey, Paul said Alexander did him much evil, but he still loved him. And we'll see that here in a little bit. Secondly, we see that Hymenaeus and Alexander, they swerved from a good conscience. Brother Pastor Asquith, I appreciated your Sunday school when you started talking about the conscience this morning. And Hymenaeus and Alexander, they got away from that. They didn't have a good conscience. In fact, you know what they did? They seared their conscience. They seared it. And I don't know if you've ever seared something. I've seared several parts of my body, not on purpose, but on accident. Okay? And what happens when you sear something is it gets tough. It gets harder. It hardens up. It gets hard. And they had a hard, stiff conscience that they didn't care what they did, they were going to do it. And it didn't matter. Their conscience, I'm sure at first when they started swerving, their conscience was like, "Hey, Hymenaeus, you ought to be loving that brother. You ought to be going and helping him move." But no, "I ain't helping him. Sear it." Then they got further away. Further away. Why? Because they no longer had a good conscience. Lastly, we see that what they swerved from was faith unfeigned. That word "unfeigned" means without hypocrisy. They were hypocritical in their faith. They weren't coming to church on Sunday toting their King James Bible like this, like, yep, I'm going to church on Sunday. And then Monday comes along, and the young boy does something wrong in the home, and they're cursing him out.
Yep.
That's faith unfeigned. We ought to have that kind of faith. Don't be like Hymenaeus and Alexander, where we swerve from that faith and we get away from it, and we just, yes, I'm okay. I'm doing good. I'm great. I'm great, Pastor Asquith. Yes, sir. You have no faith. Listen, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Listen, we need to have faith that is real, not hypocritical faith. So what did Hymenaeus and Alexander swerve from? They swerved from charity. They swerve from a good conscience, and they swerve from faith unfeigned. Now let's see what they swerved to. What they swerved from those things, but what did they swerve to? Look with me, if you would, at verse number 6 and verse number 7 of 1 Timothy. From some having swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. You want to know what they swerved from? They swerved to vain janglings. Vain janglings. Got my keys in my pocket. All right. Vain. Just empty. So that word vain means it's just empty. Empty janglings. What were they doing? They were just talking just to be heard. They didn't have any substance. Listen, they wanted to be teachers of the law, but they didn't have any idea what they were saying, the Bible says. They couldn't even affirm what they were saying. They wanted to be heard just to be heard. They had no substance to what they were saying. They swerved from those things, and they swerved to vain janglings. Listen, we can't be like that. We have to be the type of people that don't swerve. We've got to be straight. And what's going to keep us? What is it that's going to keep us from swerving? Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs in chapter number 4. Proverbs in chapter 4. I love the book of Proverbs. I started going to the RU ministry that our church has and helping out there. One of the things that they do there is they encourage you to read a proverb a day. I started doing that, and I've absolutely loved it. I've gone through the book of Proverbs, I don't know how many times now. Man, it's helped me. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake not my law." You want to know what's going to help to keep you from swerving? Doctrine and the law. Doctrine and the law. If we look in our text of 1 Timothy in chapter 1, we see that doctrine is mentioned a couple of times. Back in verse number 3, Paul says, "Now, Timothy, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge them that they teach what? No other doctrine." Doctrine is simply this. It's simply a teaching. Right? So there's good doctrine and there's bad doctrine. And you have got to know what good doctrine is. And there is only one place that you can find good doctrine, Pastor Asquith. Only one.
Amen.
It's right here.
Amen.
The King James Bible.
Amen.
That is the only place that you can find sound biblical doctrine. So what's going to keep you from swerving? It's right here. The Word of God. This needs to be our fixed point of which we look at, and we stay on that, and we stay that course. Look, and you want to know what happened to Hymenaeus and Alexander? They started that way. Yeah. They started straight. But you know what happened? They started to swerve just a little bit. You know, they thought, well, you know, is it really that important, Pastor John, that we use the King James Bible? What about that new King James Bible? You know, it's still got King James Bible in it. No. What's it going to cause you to do? It's going to cause you to swerve. It's going to cause you to get off course. It's going to cause you to not be fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because you've got your eyes off of what you should keep your eyes on, that fixed point of reference, the Bible. You know what else keeps us from being shipwrecked? The law. I love what Paul says here in the 1 Timothy about the law. He says, listen, in verse number 8, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. You got to use this book right. You can't, listen, Hymenaeus and Alexander, were they using it right? No. They were using the book all wrong. They weren't using it right. Listen, we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, and manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for manstealers, for liars, for perjured person, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, the law is for you. Amen. Guess what? The law is for me. Amen. I'm in there. You're in there. The law is for us. I get sick and tired of people and say, well, we're under grace now, not under the law. Yeah, I understand what they're saying, but the law is still for you and me. Galatians teaches us that law is a schoolmaster that's going to show us where we've done wrong, where we've sinned. Why? So that we can, first of all, get saved, and then we can get it right when we do wrong. Then we can correct that swerving. So what keeps us from swerving? It's the Bible. It's all of the Bible will keep us from swerving. And if we're not in the book, we're swerving. If we're not in the book daily, we're swerving. And we're going to get off course. And we're going to become shipwrecked. I want you also to notice with me in verse number 18, one other thing that Paul said, Timothy, this will keep you from swerving and becoming shipwrecked. He says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. You want to know what's going to keep you right, going to keep you straight, going to keep you from swerving? Fighting the good fight. Fighting the good fight. Hey, we need to fight a good fight. Hey, you do know that this is under attack.
That's right.
And has been for years.
Yeah.
You do know that the devil hates this, don't you?
Yeah.
And he's trying to change it.
Yeah.
I Brother Ashcliffe could probably say this. I don't know how many different translations there are of the Bible now. There's good night. There's what I see the other day, that they're doing a thing now where you can make your own translation of the Bible. How stupid is that? Oh, you know, just whatever you want it to say. No, that's not sound. That's not fixed. That's so wishy-washy. It's crazy. No, we need to fight the good fight. We need to war a good warfare. Listen, we need to be out there in the trenches, and we need to be fighting for the things of God, for what God says is important. We need to fight a good fight. And why? Why is it so important? Why? Because if you don't, and if you keep swerving, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be a shipwreck. And I can think of people in my mind right now who I once knew who were in the ministry that are now shipwrecked. Why? Because they swerved. It all starts with swerving. Now listen, if my target is that Jesus Saves sign at the back of your auditorium, if that's my destination, If that's where I'm going, and I start heading that way, and I'm going that way straight, all right, I'm staying straight on that, but then all of a sudden I swerve a little bit. I just turn, I'm just a little bit. But if I keep going,
sorry, buddy, I'm running right to you. I can't hit the target.
Right.
I won't even come close. By the time I get over there, I'm way off target. Why?
Because I just swerved just a little bit. Listen, Paul loved Hymenaeus and Alexander. I said that earlier, and this is why I know that, because in verse 20 it says, "Whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." That's a hard verse to swallow.
Yeah.
You did what? You delivered them unto Satan? Yeah. Why? Because maybe that'll be the only way that they'll learn not to blaspheme God. Maybe that'll be the only way that they will come back to God. Hey, Paul talked about that elsewhere in the Bible too. He turned a couple of other people over to Satan too. Why? So that they would get right. How you doing this morning?
Well,
you straight on? Are you fixed on the Bible? Are you fixed on the doctrines of the Bible? Have you maybe thought this week, well, man, I don't know about that doctrine of salvation that they teach down there at that church. That might not be right. I'm thinking that, anybody can just say a word. And, like Brother Ashko said in Sunday school, you can find God your own way. You can take any path you want up on that mountain in Tibet, umming and humming. No. What did Jesus say? I am the way.
No.
There's only one. He says, hey, there's only one way. The only way that you can get to the Father is through the Son. That is the only way. You can't find God any other way. And maybe you're well, I don't know. No. Church, let's stay fixed. Let's stay on the Bible. Let's let that be our fixed point of reference. And then let's not swerve. Maybe you're here this morning and you're swerving a little bit. Look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. Excuse me, 2 Timothy 3:16. The Bible says this: all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Hey, have you swerved? Do you want to correct it? Get in the Bible. All Scripture. Hey, this will help you get right. Hey, this will help you stay right. Hey, maybe you're here this morning, you say, Brother Matt, I'm straight on. Praise God. Keep it. Don't let things come to your life. Hey, Hymenaeus and Alexander, they started straight on too. But then they swerved and became shipwrecked. Hey, listen, I pray that maybe 20 years later I'm able to come back to this church and I see the same people.
Amen.
Doing the same thing, staying straight on, staying steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Hey, that's what we need. That's what we need as a church. We need to stay fixed on the Bible, on the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for a blessing this morning, Lord. I thank you for using me once again, Father. Lord, I pray that what I had to say came from you and was profitable to these folks here at this church, Lord. Thank you for Pastor John Ashquith being so faithful to preach behind this pulpit every Sunday. Thus saith the Lord. Father, I pray that you'd help these folks as a church to realize that he is trying to help them stay straight on. That he is trying to help them not to swerve to the right or to the left, but to keep their fixed point of reference on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Father, help us not to swerve so that we one day don't become like Hymenaeus and Alexander, just a couple of shipwrecks who have been turned over to Satan to teach us not to blaspheme. I pray all this in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Angel picked that song, but I wanted to say something real quick. I love what he said coming by here 20 years from now. And I thought to myself this, we got Miss Bev and Miss Sandy, and they'll die because I pointed them out here and such. But if you come to this church 70, 80 years ago, you know where those ladies were? Sitting in this church.
Amen.
Parents brought them there, all right? Stayed right here all along and such, and I love that. You know what? Some of these little kids you bring in here, I'd be here 70, 80 years from now.
Amen. I like it.